Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. You can see behind my shoulder there the book at the South Point. I got a little bit of a hungover vibe here on a Sunday at the South Point, Michael. What about there at the Borgata?
Slowly filling up. I mean, I think it's going to be a great day in here. You know, the games don't start till 3 o'clock today back here, which is, you know, a late start time for us. But I think it'll fill up pretty nicely. I mean, they had an incredible night last night with the boxing match and, you know, and so, you know, the basketball. How about Thomas Gable? You know, another winner he gives out. I mean, it's remarkable. This guy's on fire. You know, and he runs a sports book, and he's being so generous at giving out these winners, you know? So,
yeah, he is. He is. Well, he's the Pied Piper. He keeps on handing out candy winners.
I know there was somebody that thought perhaps, you know, you can't, I love the contrarian betting. Somebody thought that he can't continue on this hot streak, so they bet against him, and they lost.
They were fade Thomas Gable. At your own peril.
Bettors are an interesting breed now. You know, I mean, you know, even, you know, there's always that little bit of the contract. This can't keep going, so you got to end it, right?
Yeah, there's a sophisticated sect of bettors, but most of them are degenerates. Let's be fair. We try to help with the sophistication process here on VSiN. Let's start with a variable that you had discussed this week, and I wanted to circle back on, and that's capping the coaches. Okay, so, yeah. And LaFleur major, okay, that was important yesterday. Let's talk about the four going today. We'll start with the early game, McVay and, of course, Arians. You want to give us a cap on the coaches here?
Well, I think, and certainly the coordinators play into this too, but I think the one thing before we cap the coaches, I think what we learned is whatever your weakness is, let's go back to the Patriots, their lack of team speed defensively. That showed up wholeheartedly in the playoff game against Buffalo. Let's go back to the Packers and their inability to play in the kicking game. That showed up wholeheartedly in the playoffs. So whatever your weakness is, the level of play, the higher the competition, the more important the game, your weaknesses will show up. Now, you can mask them and you can kind of highlight them and kind of keep them out and clamp them down, but they never seem to go away. So when we look at this games, I think that's how you have to approach the coaches. You know, can McVay's offensive line, which has been a weakness for the team when they lose, can they block the front? They did the first time in week 3. They did it magnificently, but they were playing in Los Angeles. They weren't playing in Tampa, where there is crowd noise, and this front will be playing at a much higher level than they did that time. So that's concerning. Can the corners of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cover? Can Todd Bowles fix this problem? I think that's the issue here, too. So I think both these two teams, Tampa and the Rams, are well-coached offensively and defensively. I think they'll make in-game adjustments. I mean, we'll read about how McVay doesn't, you know, he's only lost one game when he has the lead at halftime. And then I also think the second game are two really well-coached teams. Both, you know, both in the kicking game. These are two of the best teams in the kicking game, Buffalo and the Chiefs. You know, both, DVOA with the Bills is out of the world, but we also know a lot of that DVOA is attached to some of these teams that they play with backup quarterbacks, but that doesn't count, right? That doesn't really matter because they perform that way. So I do think this will be a weekend where I'm not sure there's going to be a distinctive coaching advantage when it comes. I definitely thought there was a coaching advantage between Tennessee and Cincinnati, and it showed up. But let's give my man Zach Taylor some credit. They found a way to win the game.
the total, just to focus, and Todd Bowles comes to mind as far as a big-time assistant. You know, the last five matchups between Tampa Bay and the Rams have all cashed to the over. I don't know if that surprises you. We take a look right now. The total did open 48.5, has dipped a little bit here to 48.
Yeah, no, it doesn't, because I think both teams know they have to be aggressive. Both teams know they have to keep scoring. And even if you go up 24-7 in the second quarter, because you're going to have to keep scoring. You're going to have to keep putting your foot on the gas. You know, yesterday when San Francisco blocked the punt to make it 10-10, I said to Big Daddy Vince, my cousin, I said, that's probably a good play for you. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, because now you will become more aggressive offensively. Now you have to score. Whereas one of the things that have always hurt the Packers is they've gone into this two-minute offense or four-minute where they've kind of, you know, we saw it against Baltimore, 14-point lead, let it slip away. We saw it against Cleveland, you know, let it almost come back and bite them. So I thought once the game got even, they would be able to be a little bit more aggressive with their play calling, aggressive with their passing game, you know, and then they went three and out. And why was Rodgers throwing the deep ball to Davante Adams in double coverage? I have no idea. But I could tell from the first, when they lined him up in the slot, I knew the ball was going to Adams. I could just tell. And he forced it into him, and he made a mistake. That was a really, really bad play. And I think ultimately where I was wrong was they just didn't have any plays to really work against this 49er defense, which was magnificently fast the entire game.
So we very clearly saw Kyler Murray couldn't take advantage of the Rams' issues at safety. And the injuries in particular, will Tom Brady try to attack?
Oh, there's no doubt he will. I mean, but, you know, the Rams are also smart enough to know that they can't put Weddle on Gronk, right? They're not going to get in a man-to-man game with little Weddle trying to cover Gronk. That won't work. So they're going to have to maneuver that around. And I think Brady will be really good. He's played against this. Now, this will be the third time he's played against this Ram defense, right? From a personnel standpoint, not from a structure standpoint, this will only be the second time. And both teams will know each other. Again, this game's going to come down to which defensive front plays the best. Is Von Miller and Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd, are they going to play and raise their level? Or is it going to be Vita Vey, Sue, you know, Shaq Barrett, and Jason Pierre-Paul? I think that's going to be the key to the game. And the Bucs have got to be able to pressure Stafford, because the one thing we do know, Stafford will turn this ball over. And that also is the problem with the Rams, is he has turned the ball over repeatedly when he gets under pressure.
You're absolutely right. Also, of note, the Rams are 10-1 to the over their last 11 as a dog. The reason I bring that up is because McVay tends to speed up. If they get down in a game early, that's when the offense starts to speed up a little bit, almost like he has a plan and then he goes back to his normal vibe, because you notice there's a distinct difference when they're behind. And again, 10-1 to the over for the Rams the last time as a dog. They are a dog today.
I mean, look, the last time when they played in Tampa, they threw it 54 times with Jared Goff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's not afraid to throw it. I think he knows that the weakness of the Bucs is their secondary, that typically it's hard to run the football on them. And so even though he got away with a little bit more runs the first time at home, I don't know if he thinks he's going to be able to go in there and run the football that effectively. He's also asked to cover up for Note Bloom at left tackle. Losing Whitworth is huge for them. Whitworth is, even at 40 years old, he's one of their better players. And this is an injury that's hard to overcome, a left tackle problem. We saw it with the Packers. The Packers' offensive line, Dennis Kelly is a backup player, right? Billy Turner's more of a right tackle than he is a left tackle. And those inside players didn't play to the level they needed them to play. And the 49ers, by rushing for, I mean, Armstead was so dominant against whoever he lined up against. Oh. But so was everybody else. So was everybody else. They just took the line of scrimmage a yard back. And I think that's what the Bucs have to do, and certainly that's what the Rams have to do.
Yeah, Whitworth at left tackle for the Rams. Also, the Bucs, tackle, center, they're banged up across the front as well.
Yeah, which is a concern, right? And if they don't have Wirfs, how do they treat that protection? You know, Brady's answer is, I'm going to get the ball out of my hands quick. Well, you know, Raheem Morris is smart. He knows how to handle that, too. I think this is about, the one thing you want to be able to do is when you're playing at this level of games, you want to make sure your best players have an opportunity to control the game. You got to have your best players shine the most, because the complementary players aren't going to win these games. It's the best players win. And I think that's where Brady's going to throw the ball to Gronk, and he's going to throw the ball to Evans, and you're going to see how they adjust their game plan accordingly.
Okay, our poll question yesterday got a ton of votes and a ton of responses. On the other side, we're going to come back and throw up some of those. We asked which quarterback has the most pressure on them this weekend, Stafford, Allen, Garoppolo or Rodgers. You can eliminate the bottom two there as far as already played. I keep on coming back to, and we'll get to those results here in a minute. I keep on coming back to these totals because we saw two dead nut unders yesterday.
Yeah.
The over between Kansas City and Buffalo, 4-1 over the last five as well. So I guess I just keep coming back to this because I expect more points today. Do you?
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to be – I think it is. I don't think the pace is going to be – look, one thing we know is when you get nine sacks, how can you score a lot of points? You're always behind the down and distance. I mean, how, the first drive – the first time they got the ball off the turnover, I mean, I didn't hear the whistle on the delay of the game. I never heard that. I mean, they weren't going to be able to make that field goal. They got that break really helped them. And so, like, all these sacks they took, a lot of them took them out of field goal range. I mean, especially, you know, some of them that – but the kid made some longer field goals, which helped. I don't see this today. I think both all these quarterbacks will be playing their best today.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the sacks and Burrow taking nine sacks. That's huge. And, again, the culpability, how much was he to blame for those? But one thing I did note, you know, he never made that Murray mistake. He never freaked out, flipped the ball. He didn't make the mistake while getting sacked, which was huge for them.
No doubt. And he protected the ball in the pocket when he was getting attacked. You know, and there was no fumbles the ball out. The one fumble that they had was when Higgins fumbled and Chase was able to pick it up. You know, they avoided losing. Now, they turned the ball over one time. But, look, Tennessee, they have nobody to blame but themselves. Tannehill turned the ball over, which is not what they typically had done. They were minus three in the turnover takeaway, but only because they had multiple games where they had this 5 and 4 and 5. Yesterday was the worst time that they had in terms of turning this ball over.
Okay, we'll come back with those poll question results here on the Lombardi Line. I must ask you, is Josh McCown going to get the job done with the Texans?
I don't know that. I mean, I keep asking people in the league. I don't know. You know, everybody thought it was going to be Mayo's job, and they've kind of gone radio silent here, so I don't know. You know, I have a hard time. If they do, it's just further proof that Nick Cesario is more inclined to want to coach the team than actually GM the team, because when you hire somebody with such an experience, you better have somebody who can help them, and maybe that's what Nick wants to do.
Okay, a lot of total over-under talk there when we come back. We'll get back to the sides, plus get the results, the poll question results at VSiN Live. Which quarterback has the most pressure on them this week? And my assumption is you said Matthew Stafford. We'll find out when we come back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Brent, thank you. First Bet, Express Bet. Sign up today with the promo code Vegas1000. Why? You're going to get $10 instantly. And then you can receive up to $1,000 in bonuses. Visit vsin.com/horses for details. You got to use the bonus code Vegas1000. It's vsin.com/horses for details. Hey, Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata.
Yes,
I'm Patrick
yes,
Maher here
yes,
at
yes.
the South. Did you notice that the 49ers, were bumping some Kodak Black coming out of the tunnel there? I wonder, what do you like to bump for your pregame? Probably Sinatra.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I don't know.
Did you ever use anything to get fired up?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, we always play. Yeah, I think you always like to listen to some music before, kind of get yourself ready to go. I think Bon Jovi would do well. I think that's certainly
That's a good one.
You know, I think he can get you going.
Hey,
you know,
speaking of which, I never put you in the spot, but if you wouldn't mind, could you just text Tom Brady really quickly and ask him about his future? Because it says here on a report that Brady's going to mull his future before his 2022 decision. My assumption is if he wins a Super Bowl, he's out. If he doesn't, he's going to want to come back and be hungry.
Well, I think, you know, look, I will certainly follow your advice and text him and ask him to give us the scoop immediately. However, that being said, I think this is going to be a deliberation. I think that, you know, he's 44. I think he's, you know, he has always said publicly, so I'm not speaking for him, that, you know, his wife would like him to get away and spend more time with the family. So I do think there's a lot to consider here. And I think that it's always challenging at the end of a season, whether you win or lose, to make those decisions that quickly. And I think he'll probably take some time to do that and get on, because I know he wants to be involved in football his whole life. And so I think he has other goals and aspirations besides collecting all these winning trophies that he's been able to do. This will be a huge game today because, I mean, this could be the last time we see him play. I mean, you always have to start thinking about that.
Well,
and,
yeah,
you know, and I think that it's more serious than we think.
I was going to text Tom myself, but I can't reach my phone. So that's why I asked you to do it. Just thank you, though.
Look, I'm a soldier. Whatever you tell me to do, I do. I mean, I do it for Berman. I do it for Will Hill. I do it for you. Like, I do it for – and I have to do it for Stephen Bond. I mean, because, you know, he'll take me off the show if I don't.
He's just mean is what he is.
Yeah,
he's not a nice person.
I know. I work for him, you know.
Shout to Christina, his mother. 9 straight divisional wins for Brady. So he's been pretty good. He's 14-2 in the divisional round as well. So, he's played well over the past 23 years, I guess we could say that. Now, there is no pressure on him. I think you would agree. There's no pressure on Tom Brady because his legacy is already entrenched. But let's go ahead and throw up the poll question. What quarterback has the most pressure on him this weekend? We asked Michael, was it Matthew Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Josh Allen, or Aaron Rodgers? Before we give you the percentages, who is your pick?
I pick Garoppolo, and I probably characterized it wrong because I pick Garoppolo because I think he would be blamed if they lost. And it was more of a blame than it was pressure.
Sure.
Because I guess nobody really expects Garoppolo to play well, so there's really no pressure on Garoppolo. He would get all the blame. Amal would make sure of that. But So I think the one thing I would say, I think if I reframe it, who has the most pressure on him, it's Matthew Stafford, without a doubt. Because if they fall short today and they took all their chips and went in the middle of the table, and they have a team that's got a couple good players on it, but they don't have a great team completely, then that trade that they gave up so much for and extended all these contracts would be somewhat disappointing.
Okay, let's go ahead and throw up the results here. What quarterback has the most pressure this weekend? The results? Oh, it's tight, man. 38.3. This is at VSiN Live. The VSiN viewers say Matthew Stafford. So that's 1-2 is Aaron Rodgers at 37.5. Jimmy G, 15%. Josh Allen, no pressure, 9.2%. So it was Stafford and Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know why. I mean, Aaron had a lot of pressure on him because obviously this could be his last year in Green Bay because of all the offseason drama that we went through. And it may be, and we're going to go through more offseason drama. But, I mean, look, he hasn't won a Super Bowl since 2010. I mean, they have done a bad job, in all honesty, of having one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game. And I think, you know, this is something I think really important for Raider fans, that as their job is opened up, and you hear the rhetoric all the time, well, you know, the Raider job is going to be a hard job because you got to play Mahomes and you got to play Herbert. Okay, well, look, let's face it, the greatest quarterback of all time, Aaron Rodgers, only went to one Super Bowl since 2010. So it isn't necessarily who has the best quarterback, it's who has the best team. And I think that's something Raider fans have to continue to think about and build their team as the best team. So it's disappointing, and I can understand why everybody's upset that the Packers haven't been able to be more productive.
Okay, some responses from our great viewers here at VSiN. Let's go ahead and throw them up. The dad father says the answer is Rodgers. Look, this is the first good team Stafford's been on. Rodgers' legacy can't afford another early playoff exit. That's the dad father. Do you agree?
Well, I mean, yeah, I do, but like Will Hill said earlier in the show, I mean, you know, Brady gets all the credit for winning with Belichick. It's all Brady's, right? And Rodgers gets all the blame for not winning with the Packers. Like, where's the balance here? You know, where is the balance? And I think, and I've said this for years, that Ted Thompson, God rest his soul, a very good personnel man, a very good general manager, but he did not diversify his portfolio. He was constantly endeared to the just to the draft. And there were some really good teams that he could have enhanced themselves. I mean, he could have traded for Marshawn Lynch. I mean, he had Marshawn Lynch wanting to go to Green Bay, and they turned it down. He didn't want to give up draft picks. I mean, that's just fact. And so they let a lot of things slip away from him in Green Bay. And now this time more than ever. I mean, when LaFleur got the job, the guy that I thought would be the perfect guy to hire for Green Bay, where Rodgers was in his career and where they needed to go, was Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan would have been able to go in there and give Rodgers the stature and the clout and the experience that he would have craved intellectually and be able to build an offense around what he wanted. Instead, they went the other way and they went young. And they went with somebody inexperienced who really doesn't know how to be, who's not a head coach. He's just a play caller. Because if he was a head coach, he would have fixed the defense. If he was the head coach on the headset, he would have had 10, 11 men on the field. If he was the head coach in the championship game last year, he would have told Pettine, we're not calling that at the end of the first half. You know, and so there's so many obvious things that are going on here. I mean, the fact that they blocked a punt, Patrick, they blocked a punt, and they didn't have a punt block called.
That's wild.
That, to me, is unbelievable. And no one's going to deny they had a punt block call. All Willis did was power the guy back.
Yep. Diversification.
I mean, Kyle Shanahan was as surprised as the block punt as anybody. Because they didn't call it. They didn't call it. And everybody would have been mad at Willis if he would have roughed the punter. Because what are you doing back there? And he really wasn't. He just got so far back that he got his hand up there and he blocked it. Touchdown. Game.
And you could tell Shanahan, he was demonstrative when they blocked that field goal going into the half. Because he knew how important.
Yeah.
Those points were so important there.
I mean, they didn't squeeze down. I mean, you can't let the guy with the easiest path get to the kicker. They didn't. I mean, this is just day one stuff. This isn't even high level stuff. You know, and this is a problem. Like, you've had 2 weeks to get it fixed. We're going to, you know, you can't allow it. And look, we said yesterday, there's no way Rodgers would turn the ball over. He didn't. But when you get a punt blocked and you get a field goal blocked, those are turnovers.
You think Big Daddy Vince has got it bad. Can you imagine the vibes today in Green Bay, Wisconsin? That is people hungover and in a bad mood, man.
I mean, if you wake up in Green Bay and you thinking about you're going to lose your star quarterback because he's probably going to take off, and then you're going to rebuild your team, and you can't really be. I don't care what all the people say. Well, he's got, you know, Matt LaFleur's got all these wins. Like, let's watch him coach a team that doesn't have Aaron Rodgers before we start putting him in the Hall of Fame.
One thing I do know is when Rodgers makes this decision, I'm sure it's going to be no drama. It's going to be very just straightforward. No, absolutely not. It's going to be completely marred in drama, and he's going to make it, no offense, he's going to make it about him.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he's a tremendous player. Look, where he ends up,
we shall see. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, people blaming his career for not winning enough, and I think it's the organization's responsibility to win more. It's not just the quarterbacks. If it was just a quarterback league, then, you know, just give the Warren Moon would have been in more conference championship games than anybody, and he only went to one, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
I believe Warren Moon, the last quarterback in the postseason to be sacked 9 times as well, just to couple that with what happened with Joe Burrow. Warren Moon, he's a perfect example of not a good player, a great player. CFL, NFL, I mean, just a prolific player.
I mean, you go back and look at that Houston Oilers team that he
played
on.
Oh, the best.
It's a who's who of all-stars, and they got the one conference championship game and no Super Bowls. Coaching matters, Patrick. For all those people that say it's just Brady, coaching matters.
Just take it easy, because when you text him, he may not write you back if you keep on saying that.
Well, he would say the same thing. I mean, he would say the same thing. It's like it's a team sport. You got to have the team. I mean, we said it yesterday. If you win 2 of the 3 phases, you can win the game. And my whole thing was I thought Rodgers would overcome the bad phase, and they couldn't. The 49er defense was too strong.
Right now, it's 2.5-3. Again, if you're betting Tampa Bay, you can lay 2.5. And if you're betting the Rams, you can find a 3. Kansas City's essentially a point and a half there, a favorite hosting Buffalo. Plenty to do still. We've got Thomas Gable. Mr. Des Moines is on fire. He's next here at Lombardi Line.
listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick
Maher. Okay, friends, Stephen Bond, big game, big dance. Apropos, we're talking college hoops with the college hoops specialist, Thomas Gable, on next. But now through April 5th, 2022, for $69, under 70 bucks, you get everything we offer when it comes to the NFL. The big game betting guide, you know what that is. College hoops betting guide, which is invaluable. The daily best bets, which come to your email inbox. 24/7 video access, betting splits, breakdowns on every game. It's limited, so go check it out. VSiN.com/big deal. That's VSiN.com/big deal. Okay, Michael Lombardi's hanging out at the Borgata. The gentleman that runs the race and sports book is Thomas Gable, and he's chilling next to Michael. We say hi to Thomas, and also we say thank you to Thomas. Another winner, 8-2 Des Moines special. Congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad you played it, I think, right?
Yes, I played it as soon as you said it on the air. I got under 148. Nice. Never sweat.
Great.
Never a sweat,
Never
Thomas.
A sweat.
No, all kidding aside, Thank you. We got a lot of messages from people that played it as well.
Good.
That's awesome.
That's good.
That's all you're here to help, right? I mean, that's all for help.
That's right. And I made $30,000 off of that.
Yeah, he made some money. Somebody went against him for $30,000.
Can you tell that story? Can you tell that story really quickly?
No, somebody came up and
after they heard the Des Moines special,
then they wanted to play and against it, and they said, "Hey, you can't be right all the time." And I said, "I wouldn't do that," but they did it anyway. And
the you know what? Sometimes ego gets involved here. I like how you just said, "I wouldn't do that," and then you made $30,000 from a guy that was trying to fade you. Not cool.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Not cool.
But we live for another day. There we go.
And Michael, I'm guessing he's in a good mood today because the books had a banner day with the dog and the under cashing in both games, in both matchups.
Yeah.
At Thomas Gable.
Yeah, we did have a big day. Talk about these two games, and I'm sure Applebaum also had a big day.
Yeah.
With the contrarian taking the dogs.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
Now, if you go to the first game there, we said on the show yesterday we were going to need Cincinnati, and you know, that was a very big decision for us, and that one certainly went our way. And then the late game, the Packers, they closed as 5.5-point favorites.
Right.
That opened 4.5, and you know, I was literally just hoping for the Niners to be able to cover, not necessarily win outright. Win outright was the fantastic scenario because of all the people betting the money line on Green Bay. I think a lot of people, when this line kept creeping up to 5.5, they said maybe that's a little bit too many points delay. So
yeah,
they thought they would take the safer route.
Yikes.
And bet the money line, and certainly in a lot of parlays as well. So San Fran winning that game outright was just a monster, I'm sure, for most sports books, and certainly was the case here as well.
You know, it's interesting. All the line movement of the week, you know, we saw the line move in Tennessee's favor,
mm-hmm.
and they lost. We saw the line move in
towards Green Bay.
Towards yeah. Green Bay, and they lost. So, I mean, again, it's all book specific, but it's also you just can't follow it because, it goes against it, it's too unpredictable.
So you had a big game in the NFL. You had a big game in the West Coast Conference in college basketball. You had a big day there.
UFC 270 was great. The boxing match here was not great. We got carried out in that one with the dog winning. And
how was the crowd for that? Were they into it? Was it a
good? Yeah, it was a very good crowd, and it was full. I walked up there right before the main event started, and it was a nice full house in there. So nice right up in the press of Atlantic City today on the
Oh, great.
The
I got to read
so,
it.
Yeah,
yep.
It's good.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's jump into these matchups today, Thomas, and see where you sit there at the Borgata in Atlantic City. You got the Rams, Tampa Bay. Like I said, it's kind of toggling between 2.5 and 3. Where are you sitting?
Yeah, so actually both of these games, we go back to last Monday when I was on the show. I said we'd probably see this happen in both games between 2.5 and 3, and that the Bills-Chiefs one obviously has moved the other way. But this one has stayed there between 2.5 and 3. Buccaneers currently laying the 2.5. A little bit extra juice if you want to lay that 2.5, but 65% of the tickets, 66% of the money here is on the Rams, and common theme you're hearing from bettors here, they obviously don't want to necessarily go against Tom Brady, But that offensive line, they feel could be problematic for Tampa today. And, you know, again, it's do you trust Stafford here? I think the monkey was off his back after last week. But, you know, right now the bettors are taking the Rams here.
Yeah, I think to me, it just if you look at past history and you go through the alerts, I mean, the Rams have moved the football on this Bucs defense, yep. which, you know, has been always hard. It's hard to run the ball on them, but it's also hard to really be consistent. And McVay seems to have this. I mean, he threw the ball 54 times at Jared Goff down there last year when they played. And you could say, well, the Bucs weren't the same team. They were the same team defensively then. You know, they got better offensively, and the Rams were able to go in there. So I could see that. You know, Brady has to feel comfortable throwing the ball to these guys. I think the Godwin injury really affects him, and we'll see True. If Gronk can make up for it or Evans.
Well, that's going to be obviously they're going to have to key in on those two guys.
Yep.
The money line parlay strikes again with the big favorites. My goodness, bettors, new bettors, yeah. please stay away from favorites as far as coupling those in parlays on the money line. It always burns you. Buffalo and Kansas City, you mentioned, did you open 2.5 here with Kansas City?
Yeah, we did. We did open 2.5. And I really thought, you know, opening that, you'd get the people to come in and lay the 2.5 with Kansas City and then, you know, move to 3 and go back and forth, and that wasn't the case. You've seen Bill's money come in early and driven this number down to 1.5 where it currently sits. Now, we've been at 1.5 here for quite a few days, so the money on this game here is extremely balanced. Right now, no decision whatsoever for us here at Borgata. Ticket count does favor Buffalo. 57% of the tickets, but the money is almost 50-50 here on this game.
You know, it's funny because on our board that Patrick and I look at, not the BetMGM numbers, but it's 81% on the Bills, mm-hmm. 19% on the yep. Chiefs, the home team, and everybody's betting the Bills based on this offshore markets and some of these other places. So in the other game, it's a little bit more balanced, 68 on the Rams, 32 on the Bucks.
You know, it's interesting with, this game being at Arrowhead. I mean, the market is telling you, okay, they do put the Bills as a higher power-rated team than the Chiefs at this point with that home field advantage, because there is a home field advantage at Arrowhead.
There's no doubt it's going to be. And, you know, one thing is that this Bill team, even though we know that they're not great in close-score games, you know, people are still gravitating because I just don't think they're going to blow this team out. I mean, you know, we know how good they are building first-half leads. They're 13-0, and the 13 times they've done it, they're 12-1 in those games. So, you know, and I don't think Patrick Andy Reid's been in this kind of where he's kind of viewed as the dog, wouldn't you say? Even though he's favored, but I think he's almost viewed as the dog, which I think has helped him probably all during the week.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
The one thing we have seen in this game is also the total has moved.
Yeah.
So we opened this total at 53. It's now up to 54.5. So there will be a decision on that for us. On the total, not so much on the side as we sit now, but it's a lot of money to come in here throughout the day. But right now, that's where the decision lies with us, is on the total.
Last three matchups between the Bills and Chiefs, two have cashed to the over, and those totals were 55, 55, and 57.
Yep.
So you opened it a little
yep.
bit lower this time. Just quickly, John Ewing over at BetMGM reporting as far as handle, Bills, Chiefs, 56% of the bets and 59% of the handle on the Chiefs right now. By the way, fellas, just as Thomas was explaining that Jimmy Vaccaro, legendary bookmaker here at the South Point, walked in. They just took a $77,000 bet on Tampa laying 2.5. 77 wow. on Tampa, 2.5. Do you have any big bets that you're looking at here, TG?
Nothing huge. Just going to skew the numbers any which way at this point.
Okay. Hey, Thomas, real quick, just between you and I, you got a college hoops play for me today?
This total in the Illinois State Evansville game has dropped.
I love these games
quite a bit. It's
track.
Actually, I think, at 132.5 right now.
Okay.
I think was where
let
it's
me,
at. So that's actually
it.
Come down. That's come down quite a bit from the opener. So I actually like the over at this point. That's down to 132.5 because I make this game about 138.5. So
and Illinois State's favored by 4.5 in the game, right?
Well, Illinois State, yeah. I mean, Evansville is just a bad team. This is a second half of a back-to-back between these two teams. So they blew out Evansville by 38 points on Friday night. So second matchup here within 3 days between these two teams. But Evansville is not a very good team.
That's an 11 a.m. tip my time. Illinois State, Evansville. I just got it at 132.5, and I went over, Thomas Gable. And if we lose, it's your fault. So thanks for nothing if we lose. Okay. Thanks for everything if we win, okay?
No, it wasn't an official picky. You asked him for a little nugget, and he gave you a nugget.
That was just between two friends.
Yeah, there you go.
So in 30 seconds, you're going to need which teams today?
Right now, it looks like we're going to need Brady, which
I'm comfortable needing
Tom Brady in a playoff game. That's not a bad spot to sit in. And right now, the Bills-Chiefs, the decision lies in the we're going to need the under in that.
Boy, he is absolutely beaming today. A laid back in the cut, Thomas Gable.
Relax.
Feeling himself, handed out winners. You're a man of the people. Thank you, Thomas Gable. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, TG. Appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you.
He is the race and sportsbook director at the Borgata, Thomas Gable. We come back. We're going to run the two-game board with Josh and Michael next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It's BetMGM. It's the king of sportsbooks. Today, here's what you're going to do. Pick a game, pick a team, bet $10 money line. Doesn't matter what happens. If anybody scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200 paid for in free bets. You have to use the bonus code VSIN200, VSIN200, over at BetMGM.com or simply download the app. Again, you can use, you can accrue M Life rewards while betting through the app or through the site. So that's pretty cool as well. Got to be over 21 years. And of course, if you have a problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, we're going to bring in our buddy Josh Applebaum. We're going to run the two-game board. Just quickly here, Michael, another note from John Ewing over at BetMGM.
Yeah.
They did take a $575,000, so $575,000 to win $500,000 at BetMGM on the Buccaneers laying 2.5. Again, that's between 2.5 and 3. And I just told you a $77,000 bet here at the South Point on the Bucs. So there is some bullish Buck money coming in, big bets.
Oh, I think there's no doubt there's going to be Buck money because, I mean, look, we know the Bucs are a good team, and they've been here before, and it's hard to dethrone a champion. I mean, they have that champion mentality, and the fact that they played against them before, they kind of know how they want to play them. You know, without Deshaun Jackson, like, is Odell going to be the guy that goes deep? I mean, they were able to stretch the field the first time they played. Will Beckham fill that role? I don't know. And I think that the Bucs were embarrassed defensively. I think if you're Todd Bowles, you've had a good week of being able to kind of walk into your defensive line room and say, fellas, like, look what happened. We didn't do anything. I mean, they blocked us. They did everything they wanted to us, and we didn't play our best game. That's a great motivating tool for a coach. So I could see why that. Look, I think these games are going to be toss-ups. I think they're going to be fun. I think you could make a case for either side of the ledger. There's no doubt. I think both of these games have, to me, a feel of going over. You know, to me, the only thing I really like today is I like the Bills-Chiefs on the over because I think that is going to be a high-scoring game. But I'm going to sit back and enjoy watching them. Dominic, for the betting public, he's picking the Rams and the Bills. So
okay.
And he was 2-0 yesterday, just so you know.
King Dominic.
He wanted me to inform you that he was 2-0 yesterday. He's not getting enough credit on his picks.
Good job, Dominic. You're doing a good job. Now you shouldn't be betting because you're 4, but you're still doing a good job.
But he's
we're raising a degenerate, which is what's happening here. our buddy Josh Applebaum joins us here. Market Insights is the pod. Speaking of betting across America. His partner, Pritch, the A-Team, Pritch and Femi, are coming up next year with continued coverage on VSiN. Josh, how we doing? Set us up on the market, buddy.
Yeah, great to be with you, Patrick. Michael, huge day, obviously one of the best betting weekends of the year. And really, guys, you know, looking at kind of waiting for these dogs to bark, you had it happen yesterday. Remember, we had favorites, chalk favorites, actually start the playoffs 5-1 straight up in ATS on wildcard weekend. Both dogs went outright yesterday. As you mentioned, TG, big smile from ear to ear, because in those two games, Cincinnati was only receiving 33% of bets at BetMGM. San Francisco only 21% of bets at BetMGM. And really, guys, unders. You know, it's been kind of erratic where favorites really start. A great wild card weekend. You had an awesome day yesterday if you bet against the public and took these dogs. But unders have quietly cashed consistently in these playoffs, and this is something we've seen year in and year out over the last decade or more. Unders 2-0 yesterday. They're now 6-2 in the playoffs. So that's been quietly cashing pretty consistently both weekends. And guys, we do have a new Super Bowl champion. So Michael, now with the Packers out of it, they were the favorite to win it all. New favorite here, Kansas City, plus 375. Bills and Bucks, plus 400. San Fran, plus 450. They were plus 1,100. Now they're plus 450 after their big win. Rams, plus 550. And Cincinnati, they were plus 1,400, now to plus 700. So, Michael, any of those numbers jump out to you? The Packers' favorite to win it all, now out of it, who's your pick to win the Super Bowl?
You know, I had picked the Packers and the Chiefs in the game, so I've lost one of my Super Bowl picks. I probably would lean towards the Chiefs. I think, obviously, this Chief-Bills game is going to be fun to watch because I think that will be the AFC champion, and I have great respect for what the Bengals have done. So, I mean, as of I sit right now, I think it would be the Chiefs for me.
Okay. Before we get to the Bucks pick, let's hear from the GOAT, Tom Brady. What did he learn from that first matchup?
I think the point is it doesn't really matter what happened, you know, in October when we played them last. It's really about this game and what we learned from the last game. And anytime you know your opponent, I think that always gives you a little bit of understanding of kind of what they do well, you know, things you wish you would have done. But it's a very talented football team. Obviously, one of the great teams in the NFL, really good offense, tremendous defense, really well coached, great specialists. So, it's going to be a very, very difficult game for us.
Okay. I don't know how he had a chance to do that interview when he was putting together his hype video for today, but that is Thomas Brady. Let's get to the plays. Michael, we'll start with you.
I thought it was interesting what he said, though, Patrick. He said, you know, we have some familiar from the way they played them. I mean, they watched, you know, they're going to go back and really study the game three to see the calls, to see how they handled it, the way they adjusted to the personnel, and then formulate their game plan. And Raheem Morris is going to have an answer for that, just like, you know, Todd Bowles is going to have an answer for Sean McVay. That's why I think this game is going to be so heavily involved with the coaches and the adjustments within the game. And much like all these games where it comes down to the fourth quarter. Remember, we always say this here on the program. First quarter is to figure out what the game plan is. Second and the third quarter is implement those adjustments. And the fourth quarter is a standalone game. And I think we saw that yesterday, and I think we're going to see it again today.
Okay, Michael, it's again, I'll give you 2.5 if you like the Bucks and 3 if you like the Rams, and a total of 48.
I'm leaning towards the Bucks here. I do think they'll move the football. I think that they'll play better defensively. I don't think they could play any worse than they did in week 3. I think that's a huge motivating factor. I think it's hard to beat a team twice in one season. And I think that home field advantage will make a difference today. It didn't yesterday. I think it will today.
Okay, Josh, what do you got for us?
So the quick answer here is I'm going to moneyline Tampa Bay minus 150, but I think it's a little more complex than that. You did see early in the week, and really pretty much up until this morning, all liability was on the Rams. Remember, this game opened Buccaneers -3, and all week it was juiced up on the Rams side, +3, minus 115. Books got down to 2.5 as well. But now you're seeing on game day, just a few hours away from the game, guys, a lot of kind of buyback saying, hey, we can get Brady under the key number of 3. Jimmy Vaccaro took a big bet there on the Bucks, 2.5. All these 2.5s that we're looking at are now moving back to 3. So again, early lean was kind of Rams here, but now it's going to the Bucks. And I put a couple things in the Bucks' favor here. You did see those home favorites yesterday both lose, but historically, those home favorites in the divisional round are 27-10 straight up, 73%. You also have a rest advantage. Rams are on the short week. I'm going to go Bucks on the money line here. And I think the biggest thing that TG said, we need Tom Brady today. If the books need Brady and Brady's the GOAT, I'm going minus 150 money line Bucks here.
It's a good place to be if you're the books, that's for sure. Okay, Michael, Buffalo, Kansas City. It's 1 now, mostly everywhere. 1 and 54.5.
You know, I love the over here. That would be the play that I would make. I do like that. I loved it at 53.5, and obviously it's ticked away. But I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think it's hard to win in a hard venue two times in a row. I really do. And I think that the Andy Reid will be able to come up with some things. I think this is going to be a game of adjustments. I think it's back and forth. I think it's going to come down to the last seconds of the game. And I just think that the way Buffalo hasn't been able to win these close games, I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Okay, there it is in the over for Michael Lombardi there. And Josh, how about you?
So I'm going to go Bills on the money line to win this game. What I like about this one, guys, is pretty much from start to finish, and even the last 24 hours, it's kind of been on steroids here. The line moved to Buffalo here. You have majority of bets, and Patrick, you laid this out very astutely, I thought. What's the public going to do? Do you like, you know, the Bills getting points here? Do you like Kansas City? By the way, this is the shortest favorite spread of Patrick Mahomes' career. But all movement, guys, has been toward Buffalo, even though you're getting a majority of bets here on Kansas City. Open minus 2.5, got down to 2, 1.5. I'm seeing ones now, guys. This line continues to go toward Buffalo. Will there be a low watermark point where you have buyback on the Chiefs? Maybe, but I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to go Bills here to win the game. Josh Allen, 16-9 ATS in his career as a dog. And also, when you have a dog with a line move in their favor, last 10 years in the playoffs, they're cashing 70% of the time covering. Really good offenses, guys. I think the difference is defense. I think Buffalo's defense gets the check mark here. 17 points a game allowed versus 21. Give me the Bills on the money line to win this game. Let's break some tables, too.
Okay, Bills Mafia traveling to Kansas City. Shout out to Harry Truman. No weather here, Michael. Mild temps, 10-mile-an-hour winds, not impactful down in Tampa. And Buffalo, Kansas City, cold, but otherwise uneventful as far as the weather.
Yeah, I think both teams, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, when we saw cold weather with Josh Allen, he didn't play particularly well against Atlanta when he played Atlanta, and he played the Jets at home, and he got it going in the fourth quarter. Last week against the Patriots, he was sensational. So I don't think weather's going to affect either team in this game. And I do think both teams will move the football effectively. I think that both teams will remain aggressive with their play calling all throughout the game. No one's going to go into a four-corner stall, because if you're Andy Reid, you know the Bills have big playability.
Okay, still got a minute. The floor is yours, my man. Overall thoughts as we finish up divisional weekend today.
Well, I do think this game, the nightcap tonight, is going to be sensational, and I think it is the conference championship game. I mean, these are the two best teams' power ratings left in the AFC, and I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I think short yardage is going to play a big role today. I also think the speed and the kicking game is going to factor into that game. Field position will matter tremendously. And then the first one, I just want to see if Brady gets protected early in the game. If Brady's getting hit early, I would hit your app button and take the Rams.
Okay, Michael, go check on Big Daddy Vince and see if he's okay and recovered.
It's not good. It's not good.
Enjoy the games, Michael. Josh, enjoy the games as well. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Patrick.
Okay,
thanks, Josh.
Thank you both. Femi, I mentioned, and Pritch are coming up next. Let me just say this. Femi's in an ornery mood. He is not happy with Ryan Tannehill. It's an issue. We'll see you next time.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.